Okay, since we're combined, I'm up here. All right, we're going to take our Bibles. If you can turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11, that's where we'll begin. If you have a handout, we're going to talk about the ABCs of soul winning. Pastor Dameron chose this weekend to have a soul winning kickoff. So we're kicking it off. Yesterday we met with a lot of folks already in the, you know, a lot of the soul winners from different ministries came out. And we had, the chapel was full. We had a bunch of people in the chapel yesterday. And so we even had to get some extra chairs. So that was a real blessing to see the excitement, people wanting to just be dedicated about getting out there and learn a little bit more. So today, all day, we're going to have more emphasis on soul winning. This morning, I was asked to prepare a lesson on how to win a soul. And I was thinking, you know, that's kind of a big challenge to do that in one short little Sunday school lesson, since just finished a whole entire book on it. And I was thinking, how do you reduce all of that into one little lesson? So we're not. We're just going to cover some highlights, and hopefully it'll give you some ideas. It won't be anything new to some of you. Some of you are very seasoned veteran soul winners. Others, maybe you haven't, you know, you probably should tell people about Jesus, and that's about the extent of it. You just tell people you need God. Well, it needs to be a little bit more than that, and so hopefully we'll give you some ideas on how you can help people with that. And then after the morning service, of course, Pastor Smith will be preaching also this morning on soul winning, and then I'll be giving another challenge this evening. So we're going to, after the morning service, we will give another introduction to those who are interested in the six-week soul winning course that Pastor Dameron had been announcing. So we'll talk about that after the morning service. We'll be able to maybe just meet down in one of these sections over here. In case you weren't able to make it yesterday, where we presented it already. Okay, so let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we do love you. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you that soul winning is not just something that we've made up. It's something that you have put in your word. And even as I was reading my own personal devotions this morning, I came across the subject again because it's so part of the scriptures. And I pray that we'd have a heart for what you have a heart for, and that you would give us some confidence that we can serve you in this way. And we just pray now that you'd help this lesson to be a blessing and a help to someone. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so the ABCs of soul winning. I'm going to just start with Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. Familiar verse to many of us. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. All right, so the righteous should have some fruit, and the fruit is a tree that bears more fruit. In other words, so if we're going to be a good disciple of Jesus Christ, we're going to be, thank you, we got the old switch over. All right, so if we're going to be a good disciple of Jesus Christ, we're going to be bearing fruit. Okay, we lost the switch over. All right, we there? All right, I'll just talk and you just try to figure it out, okay? So the righteous, okay, so the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. A Christian should produce, you know, like an apple tree. It produces seeds in the apple. If you plant those seeds, it produces another apple tree, right? A Christian should be producing fruit. And what our fruit is should be more Christians who will bear more fruit. So our job as Christians is to share the gospel with others so that they can be saved and so that they can share the gospel with others. And if we all do it, we'll see more people. We'll see the world evangelized. Doesn't mean the whole world's going to get saved. We know they're not all going to get saved. But we can get the job done. And then it ends the verse there, and he that winneth souls is wise. So if we're trying to win souls to the Lord, we're wise. What if we're not trying to win souls to the Lord? What are we? Not wise. What's the opposite? Yeah, and we don't want to say that. And sometimes we find ourselves slipping into that kind of a lifestyle. We wouldn't say, well, I'm not foolish. I'm just not as active winning souls as I should be. Well, yeah. Let's stick with what the Bible says here. So I've got three simple points, and the last one actually has some subpoints there. But I want to just be a help to you in some way. So the ABCs of Christian growth. So let's look at A. Number one, ask God for help. Ask God for help. Telling other people about the Lord can, to some, be intimidating. It could be challenging. It's like, oh, what are they going to say to me? How are they going to receive it? Let me ask you a question. Does God want us to witness? He does. There's many, many, many verses on that. He said, Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we know he wants us to do that. So if he wants us to do it, do you think he'll help us do what he's told us to do? Of course, because this is according to his will. I have, for time's sake, included some of these passages. So you've got in your handout 1 John 5:14-15. Follow along with me as I read this. And this is the confidence that we have in him. So we have confidence in God that if we ask anything according to his will. All right, is winning souls and witnessing to others, is that part of his will? Yes. Okay, so if we ask anything according to his will, he does what? He heareth us. So he listens when we ask for help to witness. Then it says, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So this is a beautiful thing. We just take scripture and put scripture together and apply it to our lives. God wants us to win souls. He wants us to witness. The winning actually is his job. Our job is to tell people about Christ. Some will receive, some won't. Of course, we're going to be burdened if they don't want to receive Christ, but we're not going to feel guilty that we didn't save them, because we don't save anybody. And so he wants us to do this, and in our spirit we want to. Our flesh is weak, and sometimes our flesh doesn't want to. We have fear, well, all those different things. But all we have to do is come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is according to your will. You want me to do this. You want people to hear the gospel. And then we can say, so please give me the help that I need to do this. And if we ask him, will he help us? Either he'll help us and if he doesn't help us, he's a liar. Of course, we know he's not a liar. So we have confidence then. And that's what the verse says, that we have confidence in him. Our confidence is not in ourselves, because we know we're weak. But our confidence is in him, because we know he's strong. And we can have his strength. And so what a blessing for that. Now notice what the apostles asked for in Acts 4:29. We see that also listed there in your handout. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Okay, so the apostles have been out there witnessing, and then the officials, the religious leaders didn't like that. So they pulled them aside and said, you're going to stop talking about Jesus, because we killed Jesus and you're trying to make us feel guilty for killing him. And they're like, you are guilty. And they said, so you're going to stop preaching about Jesus. And so after they were threatened, look what it says there again, chapter 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy words. So they're talking about themselves. Now see how God listened and answered that prayer. See what God gave to them. In verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. So they asked for boldness. They needed boldness, because here they're being threatened. Hey, most of us haven't been threatened that if you continue telling people about Jesus, you're going to be in jail.
haven't had that threat yet. That other set of threats on me, but not that one. And so they needed boldness to be able to rise up to this occasion and keep doing what God told them to do. It wasn't easy to do, so they prayed for boldness, and what did God give them? Just what they asked for. Gave them boldness. So do you think he'd give you and me boldness if we ask him? He certainly will. And that's what we have to ask for. So the ABCs of soul winning. Letter A, ask for help. Soul winning begins with prayer and seeking the Lord. Then letter B, number two, the B in the ABCs is believe he will help. All right, we can ask and we should, but then we have to believe that he's going to do what he said he would do. We have to have faith that the Lord will help us. And a lot of times we're missing and lacking faith. We say, oh, I believe the Bible, but we don't act like we believe the Bible. Faith acts upon God's word. Now think with me. It acts upon God's word. If God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and I believe that God's going to help me with that, then I'm going to go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel, because I have faith that he's going to help me. Let's apply the passage that's in here. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Known to us as the Great Commission. All right, it's great because, you know, this is a huge task, and it's a commission. It's what God has charged us to do. So he says there in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Okay, so he says, go and teach all nations, make disciples. We need to get them saved. After people get saved, they need to be baptized. Then we're supposed to teach them all the things that God has told us to teach them, which is a whole lot. Then it says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Go do this. Go teach people. Go show people how to be saved. And then I'll be with you. So Jesus told them to go tell others, and I'll go with you. I like that. There's a promise associated with us. And faith takes God at his word and obeys. So I can ask God for help, and I should. And we should all ask God for help. But then God said, if I go, he'll be with me. And I can sit here and say, well, I know he'll be with me, but I'm not going to go because I'm afraid. Am I acting upon what he's told me to do? No. But knowing he's going to be with me, I can go. I have a big brother. He's 4 years older than me. 4 years now doesn't mean as much as it did when I was a small kid. When I was, in my pre-teens, four-year-older, is a big deal. So you can run your mouth a little bit more in the neighborhood because as long as your big brother's going to back you up, you're all good, right? I'm thankful he did back me up on a couple. Yeah, there's a couple occasions. I'm not going to get into all this, but he bailed me out. It was great to have a big brother around. You know, I've got someone bigger, stronger, and better and more faithful than my big brother. All right? My big brother wasn't always around to get me out of trouble, but my Savior is, and so is yours. So he's going to be with us, and we can believe that he'll help us because he said so. So faith is going to take God at his word, and it's going to obey. You may say, well, I'm afraid. And Jesus said, I am with you. Well, I don't know what to say. And Jesus says, I am with you. Okay? So we just have to believe and obey. As the song says, trust and obey. All right. So ABCs of soul winning. We ask God for help. We believe that he will help. And then number three would be letter C. You say, well, you're almost done. Oh, no. This is the long one. Confidently share your faith. Letter C would number three for the letter C is confidently share your faith. So I can ask God for help because I know it's what he wants me to do. So I know he'll hear me and I know he'll help me. Then I have to believe that he'll help me and then I have to act upon that. And then I can just go and confidently share my faith. We have nothing to be ashamed of. You know, the world, they're not ashamed of taking Christ's name in vain. So why should I be ashamed of speaking his name in a positive way? We shouldn't be ashamed of him at all. Now, when we know that God's going to help us, it makes our job a whole lot easier. So let's consider a couple of ways in which we can help the lost to get saved. I thought of just basic things that we can do. And they kind of as we grow in the Lord, they'll become easier. The first thing, letter A there, the first thing you can do in your outline is invite people to church. That's not that hard, is it? You know, can you come to church? Now, you might not know exactly what to say, especially if you've just gotten saved. You might not know everything to say, but you can at least ask people to come to church and hear about Jesus. But can I say something? If that's all you do, that's not enough. Because most unsaved people aren't real interested in going to church. And so if you just fall back to every year, okay, it's anniversary Sunday, let me ask my neighbor or ask my coworker to come to church on anniversary Sunday, and that's all we do to reach them, we're not going to reach them. We haven't given them the gospel. All we've done is given them an invitation. All right. Now, thankfully, there are some people who are seeking and searching because God's been working on them and drawing them, and they see there's a void in their life, and they want to come to church. But a lot of unsaved people don't want to come to church, and they have spiritual needs. Sometimes when they see your excitement about the Lord, they might just come on out to church. So praise the Lord. But we can do this. And I've got a couple thoughts underneath here as far as, you know, inviting people to church. By inviting them to church, you can help them bring them to Jesus. I don't limit that. Some people say, you know, church is for the saved, it's not for the unsaved. If Jesus is going to meet with us at church, I think it's okay to get the unsaved to church. It's what I'm thinking, you know. Matthew 18, right, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So when you have a few people in church coming together and Jesus promises his presence here, that's a pretty good thing. We want to get people to Jesus. And Andrew brought his brother, Peter, to Jesus. You can read about that in John chapter 1, verses 40 and 42. So Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. And we should do that. Then also I see that this idea that God speaks to people through the preaching. Okay? He says that in Titus chapter 1, verse number 3. But hath in due times, talking about God, hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. So when people come to church, saved people can understand the Bible. It's illuminated as it's preached, is it not? When people get up and preach and teach, our understanding of the scriptures opens up. And the same thing happens with the unsaved because the word of God is opening, being opened up to him. The Holy Spirit is convicting. And the Bible says when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So it's good to bring unsaved folks to church. So they can hear the gospel and they can have an understanding of the scriptures and see their need of the Lord. So that's one way, but certainly not the only way, and it's probably the most limited way of trying to reach people for the Lord is just inviting people to church. Second way I've got listed there in letter B, pass out gospel tracts. Okay? Pass out gospel tracts. That's something anybody can do. Children can pass out gospel tracts. Huh? My kids grew up on the mission field, and, you know, we would go out soul winning. My girls always went with my wife. My son always went with me. And they'd always have a handful of tracts. when we're walking down the road to head toward a visit or whatever, there's always people. That's one different thing, you know, in Africa that was different than here. Here, everyone drives everywhere. You don't see people all over the world. Unless you get in a major city, then you see people on the sidewalks and stuff. But in Africa, just people are walking everywhere. And so you're going to go head out to make some visits, and you're going to pass, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of people along the way. And so you're just passing out gospel tracts. And it's a blessing getting the word of God out. Anybody can pass out a gospel tract. A good tract explains biblical truth. Why it's so important? Because you've got the biblical truth, and a good tract is going to take the gospel, and it's going to make it easy to understand. You know, the Bible is a pretty big book, so a good gospel tract will take the important elements of the plan of salvation and put them in written form, oftentimes, you know, with a theme that gets people interested in reading. You know, for instance, like the Amazing Grace tract. It's a true story, and it's a good story, and it weaves the gospel in, and it helps people to want to read something like that. And there's other things, but it's going to show people the fact of sin. It's going to show that God loves them, and it's going to show that there's a penalty for sin, that Christ took their place on the cross, that they need to repent of that sin and place their faith in Christ, not in their works, to be saved. And so a good tract will have those elements in it. Tracts can work even when you're not around. Okay? I know there's been people, like, again, go back to our ministry in Zambia. And a lady came to church one day because someone had, like I said, we're just on our way out making visits. Someone had given her husband a tract on the street. And he didn't read it. He just brought it home and gave it to her. And she read it. She came to church and visited the church. And my wife made a follow-up visit that next week, next Saturday, and visited this lady. And she had, my wife was talking to her about salvation, and she said, "Oh, I've already done that." She said, "Well, when did you do that?" She said, "Well, that paper that I received, that someone gave my husband, I read through it." And she had an understanding of what salvation was and put her faith in Christ and trusted Christ because she got the gospel tract. God speaks through gospel tracts. And so no one gave her the tract. In fact, yeah, someone did. Her unsaved husband gave it to her because he wasn't interested. So gospel tracts, they just keep working. They're 24/7, right? We're not. And that's why even when you go out door to door, if you can at least get a tract into the home, that's a pretty good thing. And don't be discouraged when you knock on a bunch of doors on the street and no one answers the door. If they had answered the door, they may have refused the tract. But if they don't answer the door and you leave a tract, it's there. So don't get discouraged. We're just out there sowing the seed, right? We're just ministers of the word here. So gospel tracts are great. It's nice to have a little introduction for tracts that you have. I have different introductions that I have for different tracts that I like to use. Go back to the Amazing Grace one. That one's real easy to give out. You just say, "Hey, you've probably heard of this song before." "Oh, yeah." And, you know, you hear people all, you know, "Oh, yeah, they sung that at my mom's funeral. That's my favorite song," or whatever. It's very well known. Say, "Yeah, there's a true story behind it." And then that could lead into more conversation. I can't give a whole lesson on how to give out tracts, but it's good just to have some forethought about what you can say to people. There's other tracts I have that take the crisis of the terrible times that we're in and give some hope. And I'll say, "Hey, you know, here's some good news with all the bad news in the world. Here's some good news." I remember a young lady at Hobby Lobby I gave a tract to and said that. I said, here's some good news with all the bad news. And she's like, "Can I have another one?" She had someone in mind she wanted to give it to her. I was like, "No, you can't, you know." "No, of course." So, amen. God's good. He uses his word. So gospel tracts are great. And even if you're not really familiar, don't understand totally how to present the gospel, you're pretty new at this idea of witnessing, you can just take that gospel tract out and start reading it. And then you can park
and then explain a little bit where, you know, you feel all of a sudden confident. Oh, I can explain this a little bit more. And then you can start reading again, and then you can stop, and because it's got the Word of God in there. And it's real exciting. So a little verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul had told the Philippian believers what they were supposed to be doing. And that verse says, holding forth the word of life. Now, they didn't all have a bunch of gospel tracts that he was talking about here, but that verse certainly can apply to gospel tracts, that we're holding forth the word of life to people. And you remember that gospel tract contains the word of God, so it is the word of life. It's not just some light thing, and we're holding forth something very powerful, life-giving, very helpful. And how you present that tract can make a big difference in the hearts and lives of people. You know, I remember I was with a college student back when I was a college student, and we were going through a drive-through, and he pulled up and he just handed the tract, and he was almost kind of rude, and he's like, "Here, read this," or something like that. And I thought, if someone gave me that tract that way, I wouldn't be real interested in reading it, okay? So you just show some empathy. You show some concern for people. And so I'm nervous about giving out. And well, just overcome that by being upbeat and positive a little bit. And you say, well, I'm not upbeat and positive generally. Neither am I. So you know what you do? You just fake it. Or you can go back to what we said in the first place. Ask God for help. And believe that he'll help you. And then we get to this letter C thing again. Confidently share your faith. Huh? These are the ABCs. ABCs are usually pretty simple. This is pretty simple. You say, Brother Olson, you are oversimplifying it. And just what it is. Okay? We overcomplicate it is the problem. All right. So different things we can do here. We can invite people to church. That's good. Certainly not good enough. Then we can pass out gospel tracts, and that's a really good thing to do. But we still haven't spoken much about the faith. Actually, the charge was to go into all the world and preach. That means to proclaim the gospel. So if we're going to really proclaim the gospel, then we need to do a little bit more than just invite people to church and give out gospel tracts. These are good places to start. Start with those, but just keep working your way up, okay? So let we get to the third thing, letter C, is share your testimony, okay? If you're saved here this morning, you have something that I don't have. You have your testimony. I have something you don't have. I have my testimony. Now, you can share my testimony, but that doesn't probably, people aren't really going to care about that. But if they're talking to you and they know you and you have a personal experience, you can share your testimony. You can tell people what God did for you. I can tell people what God did for me. I can tell people what God did for you, but it's not going to be as effective. But when you've seen God do something in your life, how he saved you, how he changed you, how he opened your mind and helped you to understand, oh, man, I thought I was going to be saved by getting baptized, and I realized, whoa, that's not the way it was, or something like that. And you can say, well, the peace that came into my heart because of salvation. We just, it's a blessing to be able to share with others what God has done for us. So we should learn how to give our testimony. Our testimony is convincing, because it's pretty difficult to deny that you actually had those changes. I mean, they can do that, but I haven't had many people say, no, God didn't really do that for you. And it helps you to be able to weave in the Word of God also with them. So let's look at a couple things here. What a testimony is. I have that written down there. Couple things there. I give the definition. Testimony. It's defined a declaration, an affirmation. You're affirming something to be true. The next word is witness. That's your blank. Witness. The next one is evidence and proof of some fact. So when you're given a testimony, you're declaring a fact, and you're providing evidence based upon personal experience. Now, we're also presenting a fact of Scripture, when we're talking about the plan of salvation. But it's a fact that Christ came into my life and changed me. It's a fact that I've got peace. It's a fact that I'm going to heaven. That fact is based on the Word of God, but it's also, I can relay that, and you can relay that by saying what Christ did for you and the changes that he's made in your life. You know what changes he's made. And if there's no changes, then there's no salvation. So better make sure you've got that, right? But we can testify. John chapter 3, verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. So here, they're testifying about what God had done, but some people didn't receive the witness. That happens. Some people aren't going to receive the witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the innermost part of the earth. But notice here in Acts 1:8, God will give us a filling of the Holy Spirit for what purpose? To be a what? To be a witness. That's not just to be a soul winner. Winning souls, part of winning souls, is witnessing. Okay? I'm not trying to confuse you. When you go out and talk to someone, whether it's door to door or you're sharing with a friend or a relative or someone at work, you're witnessing. You're telling what you've experienced God do in your life. It's not just going through the plan of salvation. Plan of salvation is important. It's the scripture. But it should be both. We're preach the gospel, he said in Mark 16:15, and here in Acts 1:8, he says we're supposed to be witnesses. We should be doing both. We're testifying through the scriptures what God's done in our lives. And you put those two things together and you have a much more effective way to win souls. So try to incorporate your testimony and the plan of salvation together, and you'll see it'll be blessed. So let me give you a couple things about the testimony. And we're dwindling on time. But people in my Growing in Grace class understand about that. They know that I always just fly through the end. All right, so here we are. What to include in your testimony? Consider this little outline here. How you were, this is letter A, how you were before you were saved. You don't want to go into the deep, dark secrets of all your sinful past, but what was your life like? Maybe you were confused, you were miserable, you were reckless, maybe you were proud, maybe you were a pleasure seeker, maybe you were religious, but you thought your works were going to save you. So just describe your life a little bit before you were saved. You know, I was doing all these things in my religion, trying to get forgiveness, but I never had peace. You just describe it. Then letter B. Also, you can include what you believed in prior to salvation. Perhaps you thought, I guess I mentioned before, baptism was going to save you, or your good works, or that going to church or giving money, all those things would save you, and you found that they didn't. And so you're trying to identify with your hearers. Sometimes you know what kind of church they go to or their religious background, and you're able to, if you have a similar background, share. And this is less offensive now because you can share from experience. Oh, yeah, I used to believe this, and this is what God showed me. So you're giving your testimony, and then you're sharing some scripture to back it up. And that's very powerful. You've got the witness, and then you've got the proclamation of the gospel together. You see how it works? It blends together pretty well. Of course, following God's plan always does work pretty well, doesn't it? Very well, in fact. Then letter C, how you heard the gospel, okay? Did someone witness to you? And you can say, well, I was listening to the radio when I heard this, or I went to church, someone invited me out, whatever. And you just show people how you got saved. Sometimes people need to hear the gospel many times. You might even want to include what your reaction to the gospel was when you got saved. The first time you heard it, like, thought those people are crazy. And they probably were, but whatever. And then letter D, what changes God made since being saved? You can talk about the peace that you have, the God's forgiveness, the joy that you have in your heart, the removal of that heavy load of sin and that guilt that you carried, the assurance now that you have, a closeness that you have with God, just the opportunity and the fellowship you have with the Lord with prayer, and how, wow, now when you pray, things actually happen as opposed to the way it used to be, right? And you can explain what God's done for you. Discuss how you have victory over sin. Again, answers to prayer, a clearer understanding of the Bible, and just, again, how God has changed things. So that's just a little idea about how to give your testimony, and I hope that'll be a help to you. Letter D, and this is the longer part that we're not going to have much time to except for just give. Present the plan of salvation. And I don't, you say, well, we need more time on this one. Yeah, but I think what I just presented to you is pretty important too. And that's, by the way, that's why we're having a 6-week soul winning course, all right? Because we can't do all this in one thing. In the book, we just finished up here, Simple Soul Winning Steps. In this book, we go into great detail on how to win souls. And the soul winning course is designed to help you be able to take the plan of salvation and share it with other people. There's a workbook that goes along with it, and if people want to, they can also get a CD that comes in a set, and it'll help you to learn more about how to share your faith. We'll explain a little bit more about this after the morning service, and we have some sets of these if people want to purchase them. And if you're not prepared, that's fine. You can get them in the bookstore starting tonight if you'd like to do it that way. Anyway, but if you want to learn more about the soul winning course over the next 6 weeks, you can meet with us, not after the Sunday school, after the morning service. Let me just go through this and give you the blanks here. Present the plan of salvation. So as I mentioned, you want to try to weave your testimony and the plan of salvation together. Here's just a simple outline you can follow. There's no magical way to present the plan of salvation. You're following the Holy Spirit, really, because everyone has different needs, and you just have to lean on the Holy Spirit, and He will help you to know what to say and how to say it. And oftentimes, what I share with one person is not exactly the same that I share with another person. I might, you know, maybe someone's got to hang up on good works. I might have to use more of Scripture to deal with good works on that person. Then I got another person, they don't have any good works, and they know it. I have to deal with something else, so I'm going to share more verses with some other on some other topic with them to help them through. So you just have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and fill your heart and your head with Scripture to know what to say. So, but here are some basic things that we need to discuss with people. So we have number one. All right, so letter D was present the plan of salvation. Number one, these are things that you can say to people and ideas that you want to get across to people. First one is God loves you, all right? John 3:16, God so loved the world, right? He loves everybody, and that includes good people, includes bad people. No matter what you've done, God still loves you. But there's a problem. That brings us to number two. God hates sin, all right? He loves you. It's good to start in a good, positive note, but He doesn't like our sin. And then you can say, hey, did you know everyone has sin? Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And I'll oftentimes say, does that include me, not one? They'll say, yeah. I say, yeah, does it include you? Mm-hmm. And in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And so you can explain that we're all sinners. And ask, do you think the Lord likes your sin? Probably not, right? And then number three, God punishes sin. So I'm quickly just giving you an overview. Again, we go into much more detail in the soul winning course. But God punishes sin. He hates sin so much, He's not going to let it into heaven. So if you have sin that's not forgiven, can He let you into heaven? And you want to get them to understand, no. All right. Then number four, you cannot save yourself. And this is the problem with mankind. They try to appease God by doing something for Him. Even non-Christian religions have this concept in their mind. You know, sometimes you read about these Islamic extremists that go out and, you know, do some suicide mission or something like that, and you find out, I remember reading one of these folks that were in America carrying out some terrible attack on people, and then reading an article about how, well, the bottom, to get to the bottom of things, they had lived a pretty evil life, and they were trying to get an atonement for what they have done by going out and killing people in Allah's name. Well, we know that killing people doesn't get you forgiveness, but in his mind, that's what it was. And you have a lot of Christian denominations, Christian in name, where they think, well, I've got to do this and I got to do that, and if I do enough good things, then I'll please God enough and he'll forgive me, he'll overlook, he'll wink at that sin that I've done. So I've got to really work hard to, you know, they think the balance is in heaven. You know, all my sins are on one side and all my good works are on the other side. There are no balances in heaven. And if there were, all your sins would be on this side and all your good works would be on this side too. And the reason is because God says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So, anyway, so you want to explain this, that you can't save yourself. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, there's a whole bunch of different passages you can use. Number 5, Jesus took your place. All right, you want to explain the idea of substitution. Jesus died for us. 2 Corinthians 5, 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God took my sin, he gave me his righteousness. That's called substitution. You're explaining that Jesus did for you what you can't do for yourself. And then, number 6, God has conditions, all right? He'd like to give us the salvation, and salvation's free. It's a gift, but he does say that we should repent. Mark 1:15 says, repent ye and believe the gospel. We should repent. Then secondly, we need to believe. And then we need to receive. You say, well, I don't understand this idea of repentance, and I don't have time to explain that to you. But there's an entire chapter in this book called Simple Soul Winning Steps that deals with repentance and how to understand it and how to explain it. Hopefully that'll help you. So person needs to repent, they need to believe, then they need to receive. They need to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Then number 7, Jesus, you want to say to them, Jesus is waiting for you to receive him as Savior. And simply, they need to, letter A, open the door to their life, and then letter B, ask him to come in. And then your job as a soul winner is, after you've presented the gospel, and I hate to just rush through this, but you have to decide if they're ready to pray. So don't just rush into someone saying, okay, do you want to go to heaven? Yes, pray this prayer. No. You have to make sure they have a thorough understanding that they're sinners, that they must repent. That means they have to have a change of mind about their sin and turn to the Lord to forgive them. And anyway, so number 1 there, if they're ready, you can explain a suggested prayer. Say, this is what God would want to hear from you. If they're not ready, Number 2, you want to acknowledge their interest and leave them with a tract and arrange to go back for another visit. Don't make them feel foolish because they didn't understand the gospel or they're not ready. But you don't want to force people or trick people or pressure people to pray a prayer when they haven't had a full understanding of the gospel.